in Psalm 27 tonight. Psalm 27 is where we will be for the next few minutes. Now, Brad, I just want you to know that I've been there before. As you're in that room and there's about 30 ladies surrounding you and you're the only man in there, I've been there. It's not that bad. All of us men will be in here thinking about you, but mostly about food. But you'll get through it, okay? You'll get through it. I'm excited for Brad and Maggie and just wonderful, beautiful wedding they had. And just excited to fellowship with them a little bit tonight. Well, Psalm 27, we'll begin reading here in just a moment or two, but don't you just love waiting? Anybody in here like to wait? Most of us would quickly and very clearly say, no, I do not like to wait. Now, I like to think that I'm a pretty patient person for the most part. You know, I can tell you one way I am not the most patient person is when I'm driving from my house down Jefferson River Road and there's somebody in front of me going 25 miles an hour. I don't like to wait in that moment. I don't mind waiting at the Mexican restaurant where there's chips and salsa or, you know, another place when there's some really good rolls. Just a few weeks ago, my wife and I, we went to Cheddar's and they have those croissants. They're so good. You know, I don't mind waiting for my food at that moment. When you go to a restaurant that doesn't have anything and you wait 20, 30, sometimes 40 minutes from your food, we quickly lose the joy of waiting, right? Most of us don't like to wait. You may not be the most impatient person in the world. You may be the most impatient person in the world. But none of us in here enjoy the time of waiting. And, you know, we could go off a lot of examples that are maybe superficial, not really that important. But how often does sometimes God have us in a place of waiting? And we don't always enjoy that either, right? Sometimes God puts us in a position, in some circumstances, in a time in our life where we just have to wait, and it can be quite difficult. Sometimes it's waiting maybe for an answer to prayer. Sometimes it's waiting on God's provision or God's protection. Sometimes it's waiting on God's will. We're looking for an answer. We're looking for direction, but God just slowly and very maybe quietly tells us, just wait. Waiting is never easy, but God has a plan for us in that season of waiting. God has some things that He wants us to learn about Him in that time of waiting on Him. And what we're going to see in Psalm 27 tonight are some reasons that we can wait on the Lord. And as we wait, we can see how He will encourage us and strengthen us even in that time of waiting. So let's begin reading in Psalm 27. The first verse, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me. In His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in thine anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." David, the psalmist here, gives us really many verses of great encouragement. Many verses that point back to God, who He is, His character, and what He does. And He encourages us in those last few verses that we should wait on the Lord. He emphasizes it by saying it twice. He said, "This I say, wait on the Lord." We all have been in periods and times of waiting. But what does it mean to wait on God? What does it mean to strengthen our hearts in that waiting period? What does it mean to be encouraged as David commanded us, as David really gave us an exhortation to wait on God and to be strengthened by Him? How can we do that? Why should we do that? And is God worth waiting on? I think of David. How often was he put in some positions where he had to wait on the Lord? It was before he goes up to fight Goliath. I think how he says, I risen against the bear and the lion. He said, this giant will be just like one of them. And there he was on the battlefield, there in the valley, him and Goliath. I can picture just a long walk where David's walking and he sees this giant. And I believe the whole time he's praying and trusting in God. And there we know he slays Goliath. We know that he goes into Saul's palace and he's there. And then eventually after they go to war multiple times and they're singing David's praises and David is anointed king. How he has to go through that time of waiting for God's will in his life. Of course, we all know how Saul threw the javelin at David, and David went on the run in the wilderness and in the caves for years and for months and for years, running from Saul who was trying to kill him, waiting for God's protection, waiting for God's help. So often in times that were perilous and in times when I'm sure he felt all alone, and he waited, and he waited. Of course, we know that at the end of it all, he was made king just as God said he would be, that he had risen to power and that he was anointed of the Lord. And we know the many blessings of David's life, but they all stem from a period of waiting. And he encourages us not just by his testimony, but by the words here in Psalm 27 to wait on the Lord, to be of good courage and to trust that God shall strengthen our hearts. So tonight, let's learn to wait on the Lord. Number one tonight, we can wait on the Lord because of who He is. We can wait on the Lord because of who He is. You know, there's just some people that we can depend on. It's an important thing in life, you know, at work, to be somebody that could be depended on. It's an important thing in the home, in the family, to be somebody that could be depended on. I'm sure most of us would maybe understand the analogy of sports, that you need some guys on the team that could be depended on. That's why the Dodgers like Freddie Freeman, who came from the Braves. Why? Because we can depend on him. You're looking for that guy, maybe in a baseball team, and that in the lineup they can make a big play at just the right time, because that's the kind of player he is. Even in football, as you watch Georgia, you're looking for that guy that could come up big in a big moment, whether it's in the playoffs, whether it's in the fourth quarter. You're looking for that guy that you know is always going to be in the right place, that's always going to be doing his job, that's always going to be there to make it happen when you need help or when you need an answer. And we can trust God because He is that kind of God that's always there, that's always ready to help, that's always looking for the opportunity to jump in. And it may not be our timeline, but God is who He says He is. And we can trust that when we are waiting on an answer, that when we're waiting on protection, that when we're waiting for God's provision, that God will be there just at the right time, because that's who God is. In Psalm 27, in verse 1, we find David addressing God as the Lord. It's who He is. He's Jehovah. He is the one true God. And let me remind you that the one who is Lord of all, not just of us, but of the wicked as well. He is the creator. He is the God of the universe. And the king's hand is the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. And sometimes we look at God and we understand that He's Lord, but sometimes we view Him as Lord of our situation, but not Lord of everything. Sometimes we view Him as Lord of course I'm going to listen to Him, but this person might not be on the same track that we are. You got to remember that God is Lord not just of one thing or two things. God's not just Lord of this building. God's not just Lord in your life, but God is Lord of everything. And I think of David here going against some enemies that did not honor God. People that did not care one iota what God's plan was. But He was there for David when he needed Him. God is the Lord. When David gave this psalm and he calls God the Lord, he's talking about God's power. He's talking about God's sovereignty. He's talking about God's position, that I'm not just talking to the Creator. I'm not just talking to my Savior, but I am talking to the One who has authority over everything. You know, we can wait on God because God has authority over everything. Because if God wants to intervene on our behalf, it doesn't matter who stands in His way, because ultimately everyone and everything will yield to the power of God. Because He's Lord. Not only does He address Him as Lord, but He says, "The Lord is my light." Don't we like light? Especially at 2 a.m, right? The lights are off and maybe you wake up, you hear a noise or you need a drink of water. And the first thing we do is find something to illuminate our path. We don't like to walk in darkness. We don't like to stumble around, maybe feeling our way, you know, down the hallway or down the stairs. We don't like that. What we want, light. Sometimes in seasons of waiting, we might say, you know, I'm waiting in the darkness, or I'm in the dark on this one. Sometimes when we're waiting, it feels like there's no light, there's no clarity, there's no understanding of the situation. But I find it very fitting that David says, "The Lord is my light." He is the one who illuminates. He is the one that brings good and that brings joy. He's the light of day. He is my light. He brings happiness. He brings clarity. He is the one that when we're waiting in the dark, He can shed some light on the situation. He's the one that we're waiting and it feels like darkness inside through discouragement or depression. He is the one that can bring joy and peace on the inside, that no matter the circumstances we're in, that we can have some light in our life. David says, "The Lord, He is my life." Remember that in your circumstances of uncertainty, in your circumstances of feeling like you are in the dark at the moment, remember that Jesus is the light of life and He drives away the darkness of doubt, that Jesus is the light of this world and He can drive away the darkness of the wicked, that Jesus overcomes the darkness with His light, because that's who He is. The darkness and the uncertainty God quickly drives away with clarity, faith, and justice. And so often we can find ourselves in a situation like David, waiting, looking for an answer, looking for help, looking for clarity, looking for God's leading. And it would do us very well to understand that, yes, God is Lord, but He is the one who brings light. He brings clarity and joy. He continues, he said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." You know that God is our salvation. Yes, He's the one who saved our souls, but not only that, that word salvation very plainly means in Psalm that God is our deliverance. He is our deliverer. He is the deliverer of our soul for salvation. And if you trust God for deliverance from eternal condemnation and eternal judgment, then what more can you trust God for? If you trust God with your soul, if you trust that He is a creator, if you trust that God is the one who can save you from your sins, then no matter the trial that you're facing today, nothing is bigger than that. And you can trust God to be the deliverer of your troubles even today. God is the one who rescues us. He is the deliverer. All throughout Scripture, you find God's deliverance. You find God delivering the children of Israel over and over and over again. When you read through the book of Exodus all the way until they get to the promised land, when you read the book of Judges, when you read time and again through whether it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or Joseph, you can find the God of deliverance. When you read throughout the book of the prophets, you can find God delivering His people and promising that one day there will come a Messiah to deliver His people. When you read through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospels, you can see Jesus delivering people for oftentimes from their physical ailments, from their trials on earth. But not only that, when they put their faith in Him, He delivers them from their sins. God is the deliverer. Amen. And it would do us well that in that time of waiting, we remember who God is, the deliverer. And now I understand that there may be some circumstances, there may be some trials that we go through, that God has a very specific purpose for maybe allowing us to go through some fire. I understand that God may have some trials for us to walk through that are not enjoyable. Sometimes God may not give us the answer right away. We may feel like we're waiting in the darkness, but trust that He is your deliverer. Whether He delivers you the moment that you want it, or whether He delivers you later on in His perfect timing, He will give deliverance. It's who God is. It is something that is a part of His character. It's something that you cannot separate from the God of the Bible, that in His natural essence of who He is, He delivers. He's a deliverer. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The next half of that verse, it says, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I love this. You know, this verse doesn't mean, you know, oftentimes we think of strength, we think of, you know, the muscles, or we think of, you know, something that's just really, really powerful. It's not necessarily just talking about brute force or strength here. When it says that God is our strength, it doesn't mean power as much as it means refuge, stronghold, or place of safety. When David says the Lord is my strength, what he's saying is God is the one place that I can feel 100% completely safe. In God, in His presence, and the time that I have in my secret place with Him, He is the one that is there for me. He is the one who blocks out all distractions. He is the one that could overcome any enemy. He is my refuge. I know here in a few weeks, some of you are getting ready to take a trip to Scotland. There in Edinburgh is one of the world's most impenetrable castles. It sits on top of Castle Rock, giving it a commanding view over the entire city. It's long been the royal residence as well as a military fortress, and historical records indicate that it has been besieged over 25 times. That castle has been surrounded and under attack. This castle, so large, so majestic, so strategically placed, if you will, and maybe even seemingly impossible to conquer, has been captured only a handful of times. A place like that castle would be referred to, you know, as a refuge, a strong tower, a fortress, a place of safety. You know, there's a stronghold or a refuge that can never be captured, that can never be overcome, that can never be defeated. No matter how many times it's surrounded, no matter how strong the enemy is that comes against it, Jesus Christ Himself is the strong tower that we can find safety and protection in at all times. Amen. And He needs no strategy. He needs no military power. He needs no outside help, because He alone is everything. And let me tell you, the forces of evil sometimes seem strong. The circumstances that we face sometimes, they seem very, very overwhelming. But there is someone greater, someone stronger, and someone who can overrule it all. And nobody and nothing can overwhelm or overpower Him. He is your strength. In that time of waiting, what do you run to? I can imagine a city being overrun, being overtaken, under attack. And, you know, maybe back in Bible times, maybe there's arrows flying and spears, there's swords, there's chariots, there's horses. I can see maybe, you know, buildings on fire. People start to look around at where to go to find safety. You know, maybe many people would run to their own house. Maybe some people would just run away as far as they could get from everything and anything. But those that maybe would find safety or look for safety would run to a refuge, a fortress, a strong tower, or a castle. You know, sometimes when we go through life's troubles and life's trials, when we feel like the devil is coming against us, we feel like the opposition is just overpowering us, when we feel overwhelmed, let me ask you, where do you run to? Sometimes we run to just the silence of self. We capture and bottle everything in our mind, and we think through it every way that we can. We think that we can overcome it in our own strength. We think, if I just think about it this way, or if I just handle it this way, if I just read one more book, if I just listen to one more podcast, then surely I can do it. Sometimes we look to human help. We look to somebody else and we think, you know, this person might have the answer. This person can help me. And we go to different counselors and we ask for help and we feel like, you know what, maybe this person can be the one to free me, be the one to deliver me. Sometimes we go to things that we shouldn't. And we go to the wrong place and maybe we find temporary satisfaction, but we don't find real deliverance. But Jesus Christ, when we run to Him, He promises to be that fortress, that strong tower, that refuge that will show us true safety. And David says, when you wait on the Lord, remember that He is your strength. When you're waiting or when you're running, when life is difficult, run to God. The Lord is my light, my salvation, my strength. We can wait on the Lord tonight because of who He is. Not only can we wait on the Lord because of who He is, but we can wait on the Lord because of how He is. We can wait on the Lord because of who He literally is to us, but we can wait on the Lord because of His character and the things that He has shown Himself to do time and time again. We might think of powerful leaders. We might think of people that can help us. I think of one of the most powerful leaders in the world by the name of Julius Caesar. Quite possibly one of the most powerful leaders who ever lived. The one who led the Roman Empire to grow and conquer others in an astonishing fashion because he became the most powerful man in the world. His political and military strength was unmatched. Yet at times he was a cruel, mean, ruthless, and corrupt dictator. If you know the story of how Julius Caesar died, it died surrounded by all of his own men who took turns killing him there in his own palace. You know, he was a man of great power, but power's not enough. He was a man of great strength, but strength is not enough. He was a man that lacked character and ultimately met his own demise. Now, the wonderful thing about God is, yes, He is all-powerful. Yes, He is all-loving and all-knowing, and He is the one who is our strong tower. He is the one who can overcome any enemy, but He is the one that will always do right and do good by us. We quote, you know, Romans 8:28. You know, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Can I ask you tonight, do you believe that verse? It's one of those things that we quote, and oftentimes it almost sounds too good to be true, right? Can really everything work together for good? Can really everything that happens in my life, can it be used for good in my life? God, this trial, this circumstance, this set of circumstances that I'm in today, these days that I'm facing, these problems that I'm in, God, can You really use this for good? God's Word says He can. And the amazing thing about His character is that He does. You see, God is not a cruel and ruthless dictator. God is not one up in heaven waiting to just ruin everything for His own pleasure and to laugh and to punish us as a mean, angry God. But God is the one who really will use everything for our good and for His glory. And understand that sometimes that may not look right. Sometimes it takes suffering. Sometimes it takes maybe some things not going our way. Sometimes it takes a period of waiting. But God will use that for the greater good. Because Romans 8:28 and the character of God show that it is true. That we can wait on God. That we can be encouraged in the Lord. That we can trust God. Because His character says so. That when you look all throughout the Old Testament and all throughout the New Testament and through the last few thousand years of history since then, we can find that God has always done good. Even when it didn't make sense in the moment, God was the one fulfilling His plans for His glory, but also for the good of His children. It speaks of His character. We can trust God because who He is. Verse 4 of Psalm 27. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. In verse 8, it gives the same idea. It says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in thine anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You want to know one area of God's character that will shine true in those times of waiting is this, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We find that in Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. David shows that to be true in verse 4 and in verse 8 and 9. He's saying, God, I'm seeking after You. You said to seek me, so I'm seeking after You. God, You said to dwell with me, so I'm dwelling in Your tabernacle. I'm dwelling in Your house. God, I am seeking after You, and I believe that You will be here for me because of Your promises. And friend, in the times of waiting, in the times of difficult circumstances, in the time when it feels like you're all alone or you're in the dark, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Just seek God. Run to Him as a strong tower. Run to Him as your very present help in a time of trouble. Run to God because He is the one who can strengthen your heart. And David did that over and over and over again all throughout his time of running. And we see the book of Psalms gives testimony of that. How often he spending time with the Lord. How often he ran to God's promises and to God's commands and to God's Word. How often David ran to that personal private time with the Lord. And in that time of waiting, that's what we must do, is seek after God and trust His character, that He rewards those who seek Him. Not only is God a rewarder of them who seek Him, but verse 5, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, and He shall set me up upon a rock. You know that God is a protector. You find all throughout the Psalms, you find verses that say that He's our shield, our buckler. God is the one sent to protect us. It's neat when you study a little bit of Bible times, you know, there would be an armor bearer, or oftentimes in battle there would be the warrior, and he might stand up with a sword or with a spear, and then there would be somebody out there running around with a shield to him. For me, it creates kind of a funny, you know, picture in my mind. Here's this great warrior, and here's somebody with a shield right in front of them. But that's a picture of who God is when we read that He is our shield, that He is our protector, that He is the one who keeps us safe. Not only is it the refuge, not only is He the place where we can run and find help and find hiding and find a safe place, but He is the one who stands before us and protects us. He is the one, just like we read of in the book of Exodus, in the book of Numbers, in Deuteronomy, where God says that He shall fight for you, speaking to the children of Israel. God is our protector. In the time of trouble, as His child, you can rest in God. I think, you know, as you see sometimes a small child, they're afraid or they're nervous or they're shy. They often run right behind their mom or their dad. Standing right behind them, they're hit. Maybe they'll grab their shirt a little bit and they'll almost, you know, peer out from beside them, showing that they're scared and putting their parent in front of them as if to say, hey, here's my protector. Here's my bodyguard, right? Here's the person that's here to keep me safe. That's who God is. He's the one that, look, just as an innocent child, you can run behind Him in fear, in terror, and trust that He is the one who will protect you. He is the one who will keep you safe. Not only does it say that He is our protector, but in verse 6, it says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. We find David saying this in another part of the book of Psalms, where he says, the Lord is the lifter of my head. It's who He is. I find it interesting that in these verses, verse 5 and 6, it's the idea of God lifting up David to a place of protection, lifting up David to a place where he can see what's going on, where he can have a strategically safe place, where he could have a higher ground to see the enemy. There's also the word picture of Jesus being the lifter of our head to lift us up in encouragement. You might see this picture many times. I think of, you know, high school sports. Sometimes at a football game or a baseball game, you'll see somebody have a bad play. You'll see somebody maybe make a really big mistake. And oftentimes they're just, you know, they're shook up about it. They're discouraged, and maybe they'll go sit on the bench or they'll start walking to the sideline, and what, they put their head down. And sometimes you'll see a good coach or a good teammate, they'll go and they'll tell, they'll put their arm around them, or sometimes they'll even do it maybe just by picking up their head and they'll say, hey, keep your head up. You know that God is the lifter of your head, that when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, when you're overwhelmed, when you're anxious, when it feels like everything's against you and you're tempted to put your head down in discouragement, that God is the one who will come alongside you and He'll lift you up to a place of safety. He'll lift you up to a place of refuge, but then He'll also encourage you and lift up your head. I can point back to times in my life where I've been discouraged. Where maybe some things were just not going the way that I thought they should go. And I just think of how God encouraged me. Sometimes it's a verse that comes to mind. Sometimes it's a song that we listen to. Sometimes it's something that we read in our devotions, a message that we hear at church or something else where God slowly and quietly whispers to us some encouragement. He gives us some reminders of His goodness, of His faithfulness, and He lifts our head so as to say, don't be discouraged, don't be overwhelmed, don't be depressed, but trust in Me. He's the lifter of my head. Not only is God the lifter of my head, but in verse 7, He's an answerer of prayer. David says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. I don't have time to go through all the verses in Psalm over and over and over again where David says, I've cried unto the Lord and He heard my cry. He inclined His ear unto me. I love that verse where He inclined His ear unto me. It's like God bent down to listen to him. God got a little bit closer to listen to David. It's the word picture that it gives. Not necessarily that God has to stoop down, but that God is attentively listening to the cry of His children because He is an answerer of prayer. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. John 15:7. Jesus says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. We know Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We know the promises that God gives us about answering prayer. I don't have to belabor this point, but understand this, that God delights in answering the prayers of His children. In Matthew 7, it continues on and talks about how He, as a good father, delights in giving His children good gifts. Just as many of you parents, you like to get things for your kids when you can. You like to give them good things. You like it when they're full of joy about something that you did for them or something that you gave for them. God delights in answering the prayers of His children. He's an answerer of prayer. Not only that, but God is faithful. In verse 8, Psalm 27 says, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. That verse shows that even when the closest people in your life are not there for you, God is there for you. The one who promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is faithful. I understand that there are times when people let us down. There are times when we let ourselves down. There are times when we feel like nobody else is there to be there for us. Nobody else is there to listen to us. Nobody else is there to help us. God is faithful. And in your time of waiting, in your time of trouble, in your time of distress, count it that Jesus will be there for you. He will be there to comfort you. He will be there to help you. He will be there to guide you. He will be there to protect you because He is always faithful. Not only is He always faithful, but in verse 11, He's full of goodness. David says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty." And he says, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." And it goes back to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. David said, "I would have fainted at the sight of my circumstances. When I looked around and saw enemies surrounding me every way, I was tempted to be discouraged, to be downtrodden, to be depressed, to be overwhelmed, and almost just to give up. Until I had seen the goodness of the Lord." Do you believe that God is always good? Do you believe that God's will is always good? Do you believe that God's way is always good? Do you believe that no matter what happens, God will still be good? I was teaching the kids in junior church this morning about Job. And we know the story of Job, right? He has all these animals. He has this great family. Job was a righteous man, a just man, until one day he lost everything. It's quite the story. When one servant walks in and tells him of something he lost, and another servant, and it's seemingly in a matter of minutes, Job has just lost all of his possessions, all of his wealth, and all of his children. And what does Job do? He worships. He said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." How amazing that somebody who just lost just about absolutely everything bowed down his head and worshiped. He said, "God is still good. God is still worthy to be blessed." He's saying, "You know what? God's given me everything that I own, and if He takes it away, then He's still good." What a heart. What a deep-seated belief of faith that no matter what happens in my life, God is still good. And no matter what circumstances we face today, no matter what opposition is against us, God is still good. And we don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be depressed because we believe in a God who will work all things together for good because He is good. It's His character. God does not sin. God cannot do wrong. God will not lie. And God is always good. We can wait on the Lord because of who He is. His positions, His titles, who He is to us. We can wait on the Lord because of how He is, His character. The way He's shown Himself to be true time and time again. And we can wait on the Lord just like David did. What it means to wait is to eagerly expect God. You know, sometimes we wait on the Lord and we wait in despair, right? There's a few ways to wait for people. If you know somebody that's always late, you don't wait too eagerly, right? If somebody says, "I'll be there at this time," and you know they're probably always about 10 to 15 minutes late, I guarantee you're probably not standing by the door with everything ready to walk out. You might be sitting on the couch. You might be sitting in the recliner. You might not even be ready when that time comes by, right? Because you're not expecting them to be there. That word wait, it means to eagerly expect God. As you pray about your circumstances, about the troubles you're facing, do you eagerly expect God to move? Are you on the edge of your seat, looking to see what God's going to do, looking to see how God's going to come through? I love the story of George Mueller. George Mueller was a missionary. He had all of these orphan houses, and it's amazing just the life of prayer that he lived. George Mueller endeavored in his life never to ask a man for anything. Instead, he would take all of his needs, all of his burdens, and all of his cares to God. And there's story after story of God's provision. But where George Mueller himself was expecting it, I think of the oft-told story where George Mueller got up one day and he had nothing to give the orphans for breakfast. And so he started to pray. He started to pray for food. And almost seemingly just after he prayed, there was a knock on the door because he prayed knowing that God was going to answer, believing that God would come through, eagerly expecting that God was going to answer his prayers. And God did time and time and time again. It was a normal and natural occurrence for George Mueller and for his ministry to be in need and for God to supply right when he prayed. Do you believe God that way? course, we all would say, yes, I believe God. But how often do we pray and wait like God's not showing up anytime soon? Of course, we would say, yes, I believe God's going to help. But why do we live like, you know, it really doesn't matter what God's going to do. I have to do all this myself, do all this myself. And you know what? If God shows up, great. But if not, at least I did all of this. Why do we pray like God's not showing up anytime soon? And look at our battles and look at our trials like, you know what? It's not time for God to show up. Maybe He'll show up later. David says, wait on the Lord. Eagerly expect God to answer. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The idea of being of good courage is to stay strong. Be brave. Be firm. Don't be moved. Don't be discouraged. Don't let yourself be depressed. Be of good courage. Just because you're waiting on God doesn't mean that you have to be upset about it. When we use the phrase, you know, first world problems. David was not living in first world problems. He more than likely was hiding in some cave that was dark, that was cold. I don't know what he was relying on for food other than maybe whatever he could catch or kill. He was hiding, running for his life, literally. And he says, be of good courage. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be downtrodden. Don't be cast down. Don't sit there and think, you know, all the worst case scenarios, but trust that God will be there for you and you can be encouraged because of who God is and how God has been. And so just because you don't know the future and you don't know how everything's going to work out doesn't mean that we have to fear. Instead, we can be of good courage. We can be joyful in the waiting when we expect that God's going to show up. Oftentimes we're discouraged when our mindset is this, I really don't know how it's all going to work out. Oftentimes we're very prone to discouragement and fear when we think that this scenario is what's going to happen. Oftentimes we're worried or overwhelmed when we think that everything depends on us. Oftentimes we're sad and we're depressed and discouraged when we're waiting on God like He's not going to show up. But when you wait on the Lord and pray like He's really going to be there, you can be encouraged. You can be encouraged. He's going to show up for you. He's going to be there right when you need Him. He's the one that's going to protect you. He's the one that's going to provide you. He's for you. He's going to be the one to lift up your head. He's going to be your shield, your strong tower, your refuge, your safety. He is going to be the one that is there for you even right now. Because He'll never forsake you. No, you don't have to wait for God to show up. He's already there. You don't have to wait for God to come through at the last moment. Because His timeline is perfect. And you don't have to wait like He's never going to get there. Because He will work all things together for good. Verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. And He shall strengthen thine heart. When you wait on God, earnestly expecting like He is going to show up, He will give you the determination, the strength, the firmness, and the stability in your inner person. He is the one that will give you that encouragement. He is the one that will give you that courage to press on. He is the one that will give you boldness, that will give you bravery. He's the one that will make you feel secure and unmovable. God will give you persistence. God will help you feel strong when you wait on the Lord. I love that verse. It doesn't say wait on the Lord and be of good courage and strengthen your own heart. Right? Doesn't say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage and let somebody else strengthen your heart. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Look, if you're discouraged tonight, if you're depressed, if you're overwhelmed, if you're full of fear, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And it doesn't hinge all on you to find joy and peace. Because that verse says that He will strengthen your heart. Your responsibility is simple. Wait on the Lord. Be courageous. Eagerly and earnestly expect that God is going to show up. And keep pressing on. Keep being determined. Keep persisting. Keep doing what God has called you to do. And let God strengthen you. And let God lift up your head. And let God be the one to encourage you and to keep you going, because that's who He is. And David concludes it by saying, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." We all go through times of waiting. We all go through times of trouble, through times of discouragement, through some pretty fierce battles. And David encourages us tonight through the book of Psalms, and really, God in His Spirit encourages us tonight through the book of Psalms. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. You can wait on God because of who He is, because of how He is. God's character, God's person can be trusted. So as you wait on God like He's going to show up. Wait on the Lord like He's already there. Wait on the Lord like you're just waiting for the next part of His plan to unfold. Not distressed, not discouraged, not found in being overwhelmed and in depression, but eagerly expecting, joyfully and peacefully expecting that God is going to move. Wait on the Lord. David says, I say, wait on the Lord. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?